from Rajab, when we were doing dua, alhamdulillah, those moments, those times were very close. Rajab has passed, the month of Shaban is passing and has nearly passed, and in Shaban, alhamdulillah, we were given the chance to also taste the enjoyment of a fast before Ramadan. We practice waking up, staying up, and now Ramadan, alhamdulillah, is close. It is qareeb to us, the blessed month, and we should now start to prepare for Ramadan. We shouldn't be lazy, rather totally for Ramadan. We should be ready, prepared. And we will have prepared, no doubt, but they will have just been some tests on our body, some scheduling of eating and drinking. And this is a physical preparation, you could say, but this is not the true preparation, because this is physical preparation and arrangement of the physical needs. It's not the true preparation. And Allah Ta'ala said that the body, it enjoys itself all year long, eating, drinking, and the ruh, the spirit, all year long, it is devoid of nourishment and strength. So Allah Ta'ala says, if you don't prepare for the nourishment and strengthening the ruh, the spirit, then this is not justice, this is wrong, this is not balance. So we have to prepare the food, the energy, the dishes for the ruh, for the spirit, which is the essence of our deen, of our life. We need to prepare something for the ruh, for our internal self, so the ruh, the spirit, enjoys itself, gets strong, attains energy. And Allah Ta'ala has created such a system in Ramadan that Allah Ta'ala detaches the body from morning till evening. It is hungry. It will not attain anything, the stomach, the physical body. But the ruh, the spirit, enjoys itself from morning, from suhoor until iftar. It will eat. It will be revitalized. So Allah Ta'ala says that, have I not created something for your ruh? After a year, the ruh comes and we prepare for the ruh, for its energy, for its strength. Allah Ta'ala says, I feed the ruh in Ramadan with different things, with nice foods. And in the morning you pray tahajjud, you serve the ruh with tahajjud, the dish of tahajjud. Then there's fajr. After fajr is dhikr, then there's ishraq. Then after that is the chashth prayer. Then there's recitation of the Qur'an. You should have some sort of routine. Then there should be tasbihat. There should be the dhikr of Allah. There should be fikr of Allah. There should be fikr for yourself. And Allah Ta'ala says, I've made such foods for the ruh, for the spirit, that Allah Ta'ala has made something even more stronger and better. There's a tariqah, a method of dhikr of Allah that Allah Ta'ala has given us. Allah Ta'ala says that when you prepare and feed your ruh with recitation of the Qur'an, someone's recited 3 times Qur'an, 2 times Qur'an, nafil prayer, tahajjud, waking up in the night, and sometimes you get tired or down physically, but alhamdulillah, the heart is beating, isn't it? The heart is pounding. And bring the dhikr of Allah onto the heart and feed the heart, so that this can feed the ruh. So the ruh will consume. When you do dhikr of Allah, the ruh will be happy. So should we not be feeding and preparing the ruh? This is an essential part of our life for the hereafter. So you've recited Quran and you've done other deeds and practiced worship, etc. But have you ever seen in an invitation, like a big invitation, you go and people serve nice dishes, and after that, if you don't get the sweet dish at the end, you say, oh, I didn't enjoy myself, you know, the whole invitation was wasted. Rather, he's eaten so many dishes, he forgot the sweet dish, okay. He didn't serve it at the end. You say, oh, I didn't enjoy myself. The food was nice, it was good, but there was something lacking at the end. So at the end of the feast, if you don't get the sweet dish, you still complain. So at the same time in Ramadan, Allah says there's recitation of Quran, and you've given your ruh dhikr, you've given it tasbihat, and you've prayed nafal salah in Ramadan, and you fed it all of these foods. But where's the sweet dish? What's the sweet dish for the ruh? What is the culmination, the pivot, sorry, the peak for the ruh? So for example, you go to a feast and you have rice and you have different dishes, and at the end you eat and you say to the person who's serving, is there any sweet dish? And he says, oh no, there's no sweet dish. You say, what's this? So you pray tahajjud salah, but where's the sweet dish? Oh, I didn't serve my ruh with the Swedish. So what will the ruh say? The ruh will say, I didn't enjoy it, man. Ramadan was fine. It was okay. But I didn't enjoy it. There wasn't the icing on the cake. So we need the Swedish. Do you know what it is? Or shall I tell you what is the essence of Ramadan? How we have to nourish the ruh. Okay, I will explain to you what is the icing on the cake. So that the ruh can also eat the sweet dish. And after every deed you do, you will give it the sweet dish and such energy that mashallah, the ruh, the spirit will benefit every moment. So it looks like we don't even eat enough of that. So for Allah, for this sake, Allah Ta'ala said, for the ruh in Ramadan, I have created the sweet dish, the icing on the cake. And I'll explain to you what is the essence. So that you can include that in your striving and your efforts in the blessed month. And you feed your ruh, your spirit. In abundance you feed your ruh, your spirit. And what is that deed? What is that action? That dish. The pinnacle of our Ramadan. And after every ibadah we have to do this. After every form of worship. After every deed. We have to feed this to the ruh. And what is that? The abundance of dua. The abundance of prayer. So if you read Quran, you don't do dua after that. If you pray tahajjud, then you don't dua after it. If you read Ishraq Salah, you don't do dua after that. If you do dhikr, you don't do dua after it. If you do tasbih, you don't do dua after that. Then it's empty. Your deeds are empty. They're devoid. So Allah Ta'ala says, for this, you have to do abundance of dua in Ramadan. Abundance of that. This is a great, great ibadah. High grade ibadah. High level ibadah. Doing dua in abundance. Raising the hands and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember this point. After every deed in Ramadan, you have to do dua. So there's no limit, Allah Ta'ala says, to asking and to me giving. You will be tired of asking, but Allah says, I will never tire of giving. Allah says, I am the one who gives. Ask me whatever you want. Ask as much as you want. Allah says, there will be the person who will go into paradise last. Yes, everybody will go into paradise, settle down, relax, enjoy. They'll be playing, celebrating, enjoying. Jannah will be full, brim, to the brim. There'll be one man left to go into paradise. The last man, he'll be the last man in the queue. Everyone's walking through the bridge of Sirat. He's last to be accounted. Everyone's gone into paradise. Salah will say, is there anyone else left who hasn't come into paradise yet? The angel will say, Allah, there's this man. He's hiding behind a rock. He's calling out to you. He's trying to hide. Allah says, it? Have I done justice to everyone else? Allah says, bring him forth in front of me. So the final jannati. Everyone's gone into jannah. Everyone's been settled, account settled. Everyone's happy and enjoying. Allah says, okay, bring this man forward. And send him to the water of Noor. And he'll be bathed. And all of the things that were making him burn or were going to make him burn, he will be cleansed and purified. And his face will shine like the moon on the 14th night. This is iman. Everyone will have gone. He'll be the last. And look, he'll have the least iman maybe from everybody. And he'll, so remember, iman is very precious, brothers. With the dhikr of Allah, protect your iman. In the hadith, it is stated that to protect iman, belief, the greatest action, the padlock, is to do the dhikr of Allah. There's no greater power to protect iman than the dhikr of Allah. So he'll be extracted from his hiding and he'll be purified. His face will be shining like the moon. And Allah will say, send him into paradise. So he will go and he will enter into paradise. Imagine the scene. You'll say, Allah? Oh, it says house full. Everyone's enjoying. Wherever I go, it's full. There's no palace left. There's no abode for me. Where shall I go and stay? And you're saying, go into paradise. There's no room for me. This hadith, the meaning of the hadith, I'm telling you. And Jannah will be full at that time. All the inhabitants of paradise. He says, everyone's gone. I'm lost. What's left for me to enjoy? He'll be looking left, right, palaces, mansions, maidens, wives, alcohol, rivers of alcohol. Everyone's enjoying themselves and playing. MashaAllah. And these people who in the world used to get dry pieces of bread, and they will be enjoying life in paradise. And he'll be looking at them. These are those people, the poor people in the world who had torn clothes, beggars. And I used to think they're useless, Allah. And I used to criticize them. All they do is zikr all the day long. They have nothing else to do. Oh, you smell. You don't even clean your clothes. You haven't had a bath for a few days. They didn't even have soap. They didn't even have toothpaste to brush their teeth. And I used to curse them and laugh at them. Oh, get out of my house. Get out of my room. And I used to curse them. Get away from you, you poor man. You're not even on my status. I used to laugh at them. When I opened my eyes, that last inhabitant of Jannah will say, he'll rub his eyes. His eyes will stay open for years. These men who I used to laugh at, they've got beautiful wives, beautiful homes, beautiful rooms, beautiful couches, and they'll be dressed in beautiful libas and they'll be enjoying themselves in Jannah. Those same people used to laugh at in the dunya. Allah will say, yes, Is there no room for you? Just look around. He's saying, Allah, I'm looking. What kind of dunya is this you've sent me to? Allah said, look, you've come into paradise now. You're the last man. You say, there's nowhere for me to go. Allah, where shall I go? Where shall I live? Allah will say, ask. You say, Allah, I need this mansion. Allah says, I'll give it to you. He says, Allah, I need this hoor, this maiden. Allah says, I'll give it to you. He says, Allah, I want this in paradise. Wherever he's going and seeing, he's seeing the jannatis. He's seeing and he's asking. He's seeing and he's asking. He keeps asking, 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 and Allah keeps giving and giving and giving. No limit. Allah says, I have no limit to my giving. He kept on asking, he kept on asking. Every single thing he saw in paradise as he was wandering, he was tired of asking. He said, Allah, that's it. Allah, enough. Enough. Allah says, is that it? You don't want any more? Allah says, okay. Now I will remind you, then you will ask, was you forgotten? Subhanallah, this is the day Allah will give. Imagine, brothers, imagine how Allah will give. You say, no, Allah forgotten. Allah says, no, I remember everything. I will remind you, Allah Ta'ala says. Allah says, you want this? He says, Allah, I forgot about that. If I don't get this, then how am I going to, I'll be destroyed in Jannah if I don't get this. Allah said, do you want this? So Allah is reminding him, presenting him, telling him, and he's getting happy. Allah is merciful. According to his status, he is reminding him. Do you want this? Allah says, yes. And he says, yes, Allah, I forgot about this. Allah keeps on giving. Beyond his requests, beyond his memory. Allah says, now tell me, my servant. Are you happy now? Are you happy? You say, Allah, I'm so happy. Allah, so happy. You've given me so much. I don't even deserve this, Allah. I'm full to the brim. Allah says, okay, I've given you everything. Now you didn't even ask me. And on top of that, I gave you. And what I wanted to give you, I gave you. And all of this, 10 times more I've given you than what I thought I would give to you. Than what you asked for me. And this is Allah's rahmah, which is without boundary. Brothers, we don't understand this. Allah says, ask. You're in Ramadan. Ask as much as you want to. Ask. Keep asking. Keep asking. I'm telling you hadith. There was a person, he said, Hazrat, I'm useless, I've not read anything, I can't read, write, I don't know how to ask, I've not practiced, I'm not capable, I'm a sinner, I want to become a prime minister, if I want to, shall I ask for that? If I want to become minister of my state, I said, don't you want to become Zardari, the president? You want to be like him? You want to come to his level? You can ask whatever you want, Allah Ta'ala will give to you. There's no limit to Allah Ta'ala's giving. Have yaqeen and certainty. Allah says, I'll give to you. Everything you ask for, there's no limit to me giving, Allah says. Allah Ta'ala, may he give to us all of the things, the good things we ask. But we should be people of asking. We have to have niyyah. So this is the true essence of Ramadan, the days of Ramadan, the nights of Ramadan, and we don't ask Allah. We keep on worshipping, and we don't raise our hands and ask. After every deed, you have to eat the sweet dish. And what's the sweet dish? Asking from Allah. Ask from Allah. Hazrat Sayyid Khudri, radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he narrates a hadith from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, a man, he is asking dua from Allah, and he had sins, and he doesn't ask for the things he should ask for. And there should be nothing lacking from the mercy of Allah that he asked for. Whenever a person, a servant, asks from Allah, Allah gives to him straight away. And there are three ways that Allah Ta'ala gives, three methods. The first method is that when the servant asks from his creator Allah, whatever he asks, his needs, his requirements, Allah Ta'ala straight away, condition number one, gives straight away physically. Mal, need, health. Ill health needs to go, he's got issues with the wife or a home or requirements of the family, Allah straight away gives. That's one result. Result number one. Result number two, if you don't attain what you're asking for, that's the second condition. The dua will be accepted 100%. But what's the second physical condition? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of giving you that thing we're asking for, Allah ta'ala removes from you some calamity or difficulty or issue or predicament that was about to come, and Allah ta'ala moves that away from you. Rather than you physically getting what you're asking for, you say, Allah, I asked you for this item, you didn't give it to me. But Allah is Hakim. He is the man, Allah is the creator full of wisdom. And he says that I love you most, O my creation. So if I physically don't give to you, he says, Allah ask you for cure from this illness. You didn't give me the cure. Don't think Allah has not given to you. Or Allah hasn't accepted your dua. Allah says, rather I've given you something better than that. I've compensated you better. For example, you say, Allah give me a house. But then maybe you would have got that house and a problem or a disaster would have come after you got that house, which would have been more difficult for you than you would have forgotten the house you asked for. So Allah says, the house doesn't suit you what you asked me. Close that dua. Your dua has been accepted and I've compensated you for something better than this. Allah says, rather the ill health that's coming to you, the difficulty that's going to come to you, the problem that's going to come to you, I'll remove that. So this is the hadith. So don't say Allah doesn't accept my duas, I'm ill, I'm distressed, Allah's not listening. No, Allah says, I'm giving you something better than this. I'm giving you rizq greater than this. I'm giving you a shop bigger than this. that shop that you're asking for and you don't get it, Allah says, then I am removing a bigger problem from you. Maybe you would have been in an accident or a safety incident, or you would have got a stroke, or your legs could have been broken in an accident. Allah says, no. You don't need to have this, what you're asking me from. I'll give you something better than this, and I'll compensate you over and above what you're asking for. And the third condition, so first condition was you physically get what you want. Secondly, you don't get what you want physically, but Allah gives you something else that's better for you. And third, the dua will be accepted. And the third condition is what? It is higher grade than this. Higher condition than this. Higher situation than this. Allah says, you're asking me for the dunya, but the akhirah, you are in need more of the hereafter than what you're asking. Allah says, I know, my servant, what you need. You're not going to get anything in the hereafter at the moment. You're not even practicing or preparing for the hereafter. So Allah says, what I'll do, I will put your du'as on hold. Allah says, I'll put your du'as on hold, and I'll make this du'a for you a treasure for you in paradise, and I won't give to you physically in the world. So when we go to the hereafter, and I'll enter into the hereafter, in the hadith it states that he will enter into paradise after dying, he'll go to his grave, he'll get big rewards in the grave. And he'll say, Allah, that I had no deeds to my name in the world, and you give me all the rewards in my grave on the day of resurrection in paradise. I'm watching all of these rewards. And Allah will say, my servant, it was your du'as in the world that you used to ask for. I didn't fulfill them physically in the world. And you'd yaqeen, you'd certainty you used to ask from me. And you had yaqeen and certainty on the words of my Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So don't think I didn't accept your du'as. I didn't give to you in the world physically. I waited and I saved that for you in the hereafter. If you're asking for kingship in this world and presidentship, Allah says, you might not get it here, but I'll give it to you in paradise. So don't think physically, if you don't get in the world, that you haven't been accepted your du'as. Allah says, either I'll give to you here, or I'll take the illness away from you here, or according to that du'a you asked, I will give to you in the hereafter, and better than that. Subhanallah. So when the person goes in paradise, he'll say, Allah, these are great rewards you've given to me. Allah will say that you used to complain in the world, my du'as are not being accepted. This is your treasures and your precious pearls and jewels of your du'as. You asked in the world, I collected them. Here, I'm giving them to you. Then he'll say, Allah, I'm so sad that if only one of my du'as was not accepted in the world. Ah, he will say that in paradise. Allah, if only none of my du'as I asked for in the world, that you none of them you accepted in the world, and you gave everything to me in paradise. So what's our job? Is to keep on asking. Keep on asking. Then don't complain. It's the nights of Ramadan, the days of Ramadan, the recitation of Ramadan, the dhikr of Ramadan, the taraweeh salah of Ramadan, the environment of Ramadan, the ijtima of Ramadan, and we don't ask for dua from Allah. My friends, when you don't have nothing, walking, talking, sitting, lying, remembering Allah every moment in Ramadan, Allah, give me this. Allah, I'd like to have this. Allah, can you please give me this? So you are winning on all fronts. You are earning in this world, in the hereafter. So one thing is very easy when you do dua. Brothers, on every action that you do, every deed you do, when you wake up in the morning till you go to bed in the night in Ramadan, 24 hour cycle, remember one thing solidly, and that will become your dua. That will be the best dua. What is that? The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just as he did dua in the different ways and conditions and times, then you keep on doing those things. How? When you go to sleep, read the dua for sleeping in the night time. And when you read that dua, it goes towards the akhirah. When you sleep, you do dua. When you wake up, you do the sunnah dua on waking up. After you go to the toilet, before you go into the toilet, you do the dua. When you start wudu, you do the dua of wudu. When you leave the toilet, you do the dua. Do every action according to the sunnah and do the sunnah dua. So then you are repeating those blessed duas that came out to the blessed lips of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're getting the reward of sunnah, and your duas will be accepted in Ramadan. So double. Double bonus. You're sitting in the car, do the dua when you are on the transport. What a great dua. Allah Ta'ala has given you everything then. And then when you go in the akhirah, you say, Allah, I'm coming to you. Give me the akhirah. Give me the hereafter. So the car is being driven in the world, and you're earning the hereafter at the same time. So make this your habit. This is the sweet dish that today I wanted to present to you. That with every deed, we must involve the dua. The whole of the essence of Ramadan will then become sweet. Make this your habit. Inshallah, your Ramadan will become beneficial. And inshallah, I will tell you in our next discussion, another dish, another practice, when we do our next dhikr on Monday evening. On Monday evening, after Maghrib, before dhikr, I will explain some more facts and jewels about Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice what we've discussed today. Recite the durushin.